And now, your local forecast.
You're tuning into The Forecast. My name is M4 Sonic and I'm joined each week by my co-host Chief Street.
Hello, hello.
And tonight, we are very pumped. We have the Jermaine sisters. We've got Ella and Georgia joining us. Hello.
Hello.
Welcome.
Do we wave?
Yeah. Yeah.
An air wave to those in their ears.
So if you're watching or listening and you're not familiar with the girls, there's actually a third sister.
Yeah. We didn't know whether to bring her or not. And then she was like, oh, you guys go do it, but we'll bring her next
couch.
Time. Yeah. Right, she's something tiny, actually. She would have.
Yeah, she'd be fine.
Yeah. So basically, we wanted to get you on the show because we're doing a spotlight on Adelaide talent. Because our hometown, Adelaide, we have so many phenomenally talented artists doing amazing things and we want to share your story. How did it all start? So were you all musical from day dot or was this a later thing?
It was definitely like we just didn't know any different. We thought everyone went and played instruments after like having dinner at night. And our dad was heavily into music with his brothers growing up. He lived on a farm on the York Peninsula and they were in like all the sort of trombone bands and all that sort of thing. But he loved like New Orleans jazz growing up and had a jazz band that he used to play in, and we'd go watch him at like the Day on the Greens, and he used to play at the Havelock and things like that. So we'd watch them, and they have an amazing lead singer who's the most coolest entertainer. So we used to go a lot to those gigs. But yeah, we just always were playing music. Like we lived on a couple of acres in the Adelaide Hills, and yeah, we just always were outside or playing music. Like we loved it, and Dad would always have us like, you know, playing for our grandparents, or like mum would like guilt us into like, you know, playing for like all our old lady friends and stuff like that.
Been there, got prodded to play piano.
We really enjoyed it. I think in the early days though, I don't know how they put up with it because Georgia played violin from age 4. I think she was the first one to start.
Violin's
painful, right?
Yeah, it's the worst. And there's so many videos of it's just like squeaking for like.
It was like nonstop. Like Claire and I would do our little bit to our grandparents for like maybe, I don't know, 10 seconds or 20 seconds of a song. But Georgia's would be like 5 minutes of just like.
And they'd be like, and go again. Like, there's
like another one.
There's videos about like, it's like an hour long of just me being like, and it's just like playing the one note and it's screeching. Like, I think you have to be really good at violin for it to sound good.
Yeah, so everyone starts at that stage.
Yeah, you got to start somewhere.
I don't know if I told you, mum, sorry to cut you off, learned violin later in life.
Okay.
I think it was to get me to move out of home.
Oh, really?
She was playing Mary Had a Little Lamb and it was so bad that the bow. And I think the bow was worth more than the violin.
Yeah. Some are really expensive. We toured with someone that's friend's cello was worth like £25,000 and they have a seat for it on the airplane, which is, I think like probably a lot of people have that, but
Wow. So, okay.
So yeah, played music growing up ages and then Georgia did a lot of songwriting from an early age. I think you entered lots of competitions. We met Alex Hosking at one of the songwriting competitions. So we love Alex. You guys had last week, was it? Or the week before? A couple of weeks ago?
Yeah.
She's so cool because, like, yeah, we're all chicks from Adelaide and, like, it's so cool seeing all the stuff that she's doing as well in the UK. So I love catching up with her for a good chat when we're over there and we reminisce to our old, like, days doing the songwriting.
Nice.
And all that kind of thing. So yeah, Georgia did a lot of that. And then Claire and I were just sort of like, you know, come along and play with you.
Yeah, we would just, I don't know, play together as siblings a bit. And then I did a kind of solo album. Like I'd written all these songs in school and then I did a solo album
for,
at the
like,
end
the
of...
Year 10 project? Like, you know how something like that...
Oh, yeah. That was
research
one of them.
Project.
Again? Like,
personal project.
Personal project.
But now it's called something else.
As part of, yeah.
But anyway. Yeah, that was a
the
thing.
The one no one liked to do. Claire made a surfboard and I think she literally just like someone made it and she like spray painted the outside and that was her done.
Mine was familiar. I did a musical one where I said I was learning the drums and then for my final hand up, I just gave him the drum track.
Yeah.
Like to a song already and was like, yeah, that's me.
Yeah.
I kind of cheated a bit, but
that's awesome. Yeah. That's
awesome. So when did the band come together?
Yeah.
It was probably after school, I think. Like we were always playing together. Like, like you said, mum and dad would just be like, play
it. It was actually Georgia and the Jermaine sisters.
Yeah, it was Jorda Jermaine, and then it was Jermaine, and then it sort of was Jorda Jermaine Sisters, and then it was Jermaine Sisters, and then it was now it's kind of more Jermaine.
Yeah, I was like, all right, guys, I'm gonna be frank with you. I'm like, if we're gonna do this thing, I want to just Jermaine Sisters. Like when people are like, oh, do you guys fight? We don't fight anymore, but like when we were like, imagine like,
I say we still fight a bit.
Oh, we're pretty, but we're like civil when we get over.
Claire is the mediator, and she's here, so I'm like, this is a dangerous space. No, it's fine.
But yeah, in the early days, and it is like you guys would know as well, like the hustle and everything. It's not even just being frustrated with, say, like a small situation in whatever is happening with the band. It's usually stuff that's external to the band that you might, you know, be missing a friend's birthday party. Or for me, I think I missed a couple of uni exams. And then there was another job I was working up at Channel 10 in Brisbane on a show called Totally Wild when I was younger. And I had to sort of pick and choose like with dates. And like we had an offer to do some pretty big tours in China and Germany. And I had to sort of figure out what to do there. So there was like, it was not so much us angry about band stuff. It's usually external stuff or like relationships and things like that. And you'd be going away all the time and then things would fade off. And you sort of go back to blaming like, oh, like if I wasn't doing this. But then like we're so, so glad that we've stuck to it because, yeah, we've had such an amazing time. Obviously, we'll probably talk about later.
Yeah, for sure. So we sort of, we did, I think we opened for, it was like Renee Geyer or something at the Norwood.
Well, Russell Morris, do you guys know him?
No. Ian Moss.
Did we do just Dale like, Braithwaite?
Yeah, we did. It was at the Norwood, what's it called? There's like a venue in Norwood and it's really
Norwood Live.
Really good sound there. And we would just get the opening spots for whoever was touring there at the time. And then, yeah. And then
our first music fest was at Kangaroo Island Surf Music Festival. Do you guys remember Lizzie. That?
Hey, producer Luke off screen, you can't see him.
Were you there? It was good. It was a bit of a dust bowl, but it was good. We were so stoked. I remember we used this local designer. She had a brand called Casper and Pearl and we all got matching dresses made for it. Cool. But the wind, oh my goodness, like, we were just like, lucky our instruments were at the front, but we were like, the sound guys at the back got a nice few of our 21-year-old butts.
Nice.
Our mum had printed all these like bandanas to hand out to people that said Jermaine Sisters, like, because we were so excited. It was like our first ever real festival. And I think the Beautiful Girls were playing and who else was it?
I can't remember.
It was like, this was like years ago. I couldn't even, I wish they kept doing it because it was really good. But I think that year it was just like a good, yeah, it was a bit of a trial.
Kind of like Isle of Wight Festival, but just going on the ferry.
And then later than that, Georgia, I think, wrote a commercial for something or you got Song Got
one,
Selected?
Yeah, one song. Yeah, Song Got Selected for some international commercial. And so we met, it was like through the Tourism Commission, I think. And there was like, they had contacts in Germany and in the UK as well. And their people got in contact with us and like, if you ever want to come and do some shows here, we're like, okay. And we also, because we're getting compared to the Corrs at these Norwood gigs. They're like, the Australian Corrs. And so we're like, we could like, go on. It would be great to record with someone who would not make us sound like them, but sort of.
Had worked with them. Yeah. And we just like shoot our shot. Like, and our mum was our manager at the time and she still helps us out every now and then. But back then she was like, she was just like a nurse, like not just a nurse, but like no musical background, but she was just always such a go-getter. Like we called her like the Energizer Bunny and sometimes we'd be like, settle down, Sue. But like she just emailed.
Shout out, Sue, you're watching at home.
She will be, She'd be like, say nice things. But no, she was so just like persistent. Like her support and her belief in us to do well was, I mean, whether she believed or not, but she would just like, she'd push so, not push in a pushy way, but she'd find everyone, like she'd Google or she'd read some magazine and someone's name was mentioned, she'd write it down in her notebook and she just would send like,
so many pieces of paper everywhere.
Like, so erratic, but she's just spin. Like, there's absolutely no way on this earth that we'd be where we are without her because she emailed everyone. And then, long story short, a guy that did produce the cause got back and he's like, yeah, sure, why not? So that's how it all sort of started. And then from there, the Googling and the everything continued. Mum would chat to people and then emailed this guy. That runs the Isle of Wight Festival, but also one of the biggest booking agencies in the UK. And he was so lovely and had us just, he's so funny. He's like, sure, why not? You can come play at the festival. Yeah. And then each year he'd have us back as we slowly started like building more connections over in the UK and we'd meet other people. And then he offered us the Ronan Keating tour in Germany. So it was like, it was just one of those like opportunities and like, it was like all very self-funded by us. It was like, here it is if you want it. Because obviously it's quite competitive to get support acts and things like that. But we were like, yeah, definitely. And like, it was so amazing. And then I think just through after that, we did, like, there were just a few odd shows here and there. I think there was one in Phil Collins in New Zealand. And then
Little Mix.
That was probably the turning point when you say, like, you see what potentially could it be like.
Yeah.
And that was amazing. So I think that was like 2016 or 17, I reckon. And there was 15 shows and they were huge stadiums. I think the biggest was 30,000 and we were the opening act and then another act called Raksu were after us. And we just had the best time. Like, it was like being on school camp and we were like on the other side of the world.
In the best way. School camp.
Oh no, but like even the crew and stuff, like it's not even like, and obviously being around the artists and the energy and everything was really fun. But even just the crew, like we've still got like some of our best music friends from that. And like we, you know, because they understand as well, even though they're not on stage, they tour and do all the grind and they probably don't get enough recognition, I think, a lot of the time. So we just had the best time with them and Little Mix were really fun. The crowd was amazing, like all these girls screaming and like we just had so much fun. That was really good. And then, yeah, just sort of kept kicking on from that. We did a schools tour in Switzerland. We've done like every gig you can think of.
Were you playing in Australia much or was most of your shows overseas? Because it sounds like...
I think
it was mostly, we'd come home and do like corporates and stuff because that would help like fund a lot of it. And we were really fortunate to get a few grants as well to kick us off from the start. And then it was just sort of like come back, then like, and then go. We'd sort of chase the summer generally.
Yeah, but each year it was just like another connection. And we're just like it's a massive, massive slog. Like obviously we're talking about all the fun parts, but there's a lot of times when you just like drive, like Clara is the drummer and she... a lot of the time was driving or mum would be driving and we'd be in this tiny cramped car and like that wasn't even meant for like people in the back. It was meant for like trading tools or whatever and like driving across the autobahn and then ending up in a random place and like, and then one time we were supposed to do this schools tour and in Germany, but then they got the dates wrong. So we're in this tiny like farm.
I remember there was no internet, which at the time was like, oh my gosh.
There was no shop. There was like and a cornfield. Like each day we had our like.
We were just sort of like, oh.
No, one. And then the guy that we were staying with, he's so lovely. He's like the coolest dude ever, Oliver. And he was out, he's sort of like our sort of Swiss manager or contact. And he used to work at Sony and he's just so fun. But he was like, oh, you can stay in my house. I've just bought it. But it was this old schoolhouse that was about 4 stories tall, huge ceilings, but only about 2 rooms were livable. So it's like, imagine like this like old schoolhouse, like really dusty, like old building, and then like 2 of the rooms. So we'd used to, I think I had Kath and Kim on the hard drive. So we'd be watching Kath and Kim and then
it was my birthday during those 3 weeks.
So it was just like we had our ritual and then one, and then I think maybe an hour or so a day he'd turn on his hotspot and we could like say hi to mum and let her know we're alive. But like this is just a massive sidetrack. But like we've done so many random gigs like in between all those big tours as well. But in Australia, like we do corporates here and there. We did Tamworth Country Music Festival. Definitely recommend if any country artists, even not that country, like they were actually one of the most supportive for new artists, I think, like that we've noticed in Australia. Like the country music scene is so warm and welcoming and they're so just like get amongst it. We were playing like, I think...
We started busking because you couldn't just go get gigs. You had to bus. So the first year we busked and then we sort of, built it up over the years. But everyone was just so... It was just nice.
It was so it was fun. But nice. We do two or three shows a day that were 3-hour shows, like 3-hour cover shows. Wow. And like in the heat up there in Tamworth in January, it's like, but we had such a fun time. And then we won that giant check.
Oh, yeah.
And it was
and then we drove one of those like,
$1,000. We won the busking championship.
And we had to like then drive back to Adelaide.
Because it was Dad's birthday. And we're like, so we just did it
17 hours. Yeah. We were just like, woohoo.
Anyway, so it was fun.
You wouldn't get booked for a slot. You'd have to just busk at some...
Someone ran a stage there, like a fan zone, which is like a small stage. And then you could do... they have all these like pubs and hotels. So I think if you call in advance, you can get like a slot there for the afternoon or morning. But it's a great way for like new talent to be seen by doing like the cover shows, then mixing a couple of their songs in. And it's always full just to people drinking 4X like
mint.
And everyone can't like, if you don't even like play country, but just go up there for the time, it's actually the best.
I was in Narra Court for their Food and Wine Festival weekend and the band, so good. You know, by 4 o'clock, everyone's completely tanked. And everyone was rocking out in there. Central Park just going nuts. And it was such a vibe. I miss it. Because I used to tour with bands,
Not
as an electronic guy. Yeah, so I was on Warped Tour.
Yeah.
Do you guys know Warped Tour?
Yeah. Bands Warped Tour.
Yeah.
Cool. We would never have been cool enough to do that. But yeah.
No, I could totally see you guys. Because there was a bus full of DJs on Warped Tour and there's a few states of America. They're like, why? But people just got amongst it. But it was almost like busking at some point because we'd rock up to these random venues. Like sometimes be in an amphitheater, sometimes it'd be, in a car park.
Or
a stadium. Like just it was hit and miss. And then, sort of the Midwest, that's where people are like, why are there electronic acts? But we converted them because we had to,
I love, I think for us as well, being like, and not at all playing the girl cards, we never ever want to do that. But I think especially in the early days, it's a lot better like in the last couple of years. But I think of those early days, like especially like for booking gigs and stuff, like people would like see all three sisters or they must be folk sisters. I think that's why at the time we dropped Sisters because people were thinking we were like this folk, like pretty sort of, nothing wrong with that either, by the way. There's some beautiful music that come from folk, but that wasn't what we were doing. We were doing like, Georgia's really big on her like rock guitar and like we were definitely pop, but pop rock and had a lot of energy and like a lot of people would sort of write us off just by first glance when we'd walk in because we're all very different as well, like in our styles and things like that. But then it was the best when you play a gig and they're like, wow, I didn't think you were going to be that like good or I wasn't expecting that. So that's like the biggest compliment for us because we're like, it was nice to hear that. And that's when one of our songs that we wrote, I think a few years ago that won a bunch of awards in the International Songwriting Competition called Good for a Girl. So that was sort of inspired by that experience. Awesome. So it's been really good. And and back to the journey. And then after that, we did, COVID happened. That was a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
But we did a couple of sister sessions, which we just hooked up with a couple of our artist friends from around the world. Yep. And we'd record like a cover. So we'd do a few steps, they'd do some stems and then we'd do some and George would mix it at home. And then we'd do a little thing on YouTube. And it was just something fun to keep us going. We did a couple of virtual concerts, which were the weirdest things. Yeah. I think Mum again was in the audience and that was it at the Gov. So we're like, everyone clap. But it was cool. It was with Live Nation and I think they had over like maybe 30 countries or something.
Yeah, it was like streamed online or something, but it was on all the different Live Nation Facebook pages or something. But it was cool seeing how people were trying to be were creative during that time when you couldn't tour. Because it was weird because it was like you couldn't, you just couldn't go anywhere. And it wasn't just us. It was everyone was in the same boat in our industry, especially. It was just like, okay. So we have to think about how we can make this work.
Yeah.
Did you guys spend time writing music or anything like that? Or
you wrote 21 in that time.
Wrote a bunch of things. Yeah. It was good. I think for us, it was weird because we've been touring for it felt like so many years before that. And we were just nonstop. So I think not that we necessarily needed the break, but it was just a really nice time to, we were kind of forced to stay in one place. And
I got chickens and now 6 chickens turned into 40 chickens.
Wow. You got a farm, basically.
You just find a positive about the rest period.
She's got a lot of roosters.
It was really fun. It was good and it was relaxing, but there was a definite part of the unknown because we've been playing since we were like, 4 or 5, so we know. A lot of our identity, I think, feels like it comes from music and I personally, I don't know if you felt the same, went through a bit of a really, as everyone went through a down patch because I was like, I don't know who I am without touring and doing all this stuff. And even my life outside of that, I don't know who I am. I was really scared that was going to go. So I think having our mum's been amazing is always just turn negative into positive. So I think if it wasn't for her inspiring us throughout our whole life, we probably it would have been really hard. We turned the sister sessions, we did this, we kept going and just had hope that, the next couple of years we're going to turn around and slowly restrictions got lifted. We could head back to the UK. Our agent booked us a couple of shows and then I think there was a couple with Tom Jones. So that was fun. That's how that started. And then
how was that?
Oh, it's so good. He's actually coming to Adelaide. I'm not sure if it'll be up by then, but
get him on the podcast. Just
can you bring him in, please? Sir Tom Jones.
I know. He is so cool. His voice is amazing and just the band as well. And his crew are so nice. So we had the honor of doing those gigs and that was really fun. And
yeah, did a few that summer with him and then we did more last year. And then we did his UK tour just recently in December.
Yeah, we played at the O2 in London.
Just for anyone that's listening or watching that isn't familiar with that venue,
it's if you go along the corridors backstage, it's all the people that have played there and you see Lady Gaga and Beyonce, Taylor Swift, like, I mean,
just an iconic,
stuff, but there's obviously like Blink-182 and all like other bands.
And you
like,
guys, so.
We'll take that. We'll support.
We don't get a picture yet, but maybe one
day. I'll just be banging my picture up there.
Put it over like one of the bands. But yeah, it was just so cool. Like those venues are just so amazing. And yeah, that was pretty fun to do.
I'm curious, when you're touring with someone like Tom Jones, do you actually spend much time with him? Do you see him at all? You ever walk across the hallway?
We've met him a few times.
Yeah, we've met him. It's usually been arranged by their team. He does so many shows. Like, he is an absolute gun. Like, he'll be like back-to-back shows, and they're long shows. Like, we only play like 30 minutes or so, but he's like about two hours. Every night. So a lot of the time, the main act will usually maybe be hanging in their dressing room, or they might rock up maybe a little bit before they go on, but they'll probably be at their hotel, and then straight after the gig they'll go to bed and get their rest, because it really is like being an athlete on tour. And like a lot of people think like, you know, you're drinking and going crazy every night. Like sometimes there'll be an after party, like Little Mix had a really great after party, which was lots of fun. I tripped over in front of them all, but didn't spill my champagne. It was like the most embarrassing thing in my life, but we don't talk about that. It was one of those things, and they were talking to them. I'm like, yeah, it's been so nice. Thanks for having us on the tour. And I was wearing these boots, and you know those hidden steps at venues where they're like, it's only about that high, but I turned around on this huge adrenaline. I just went flat down. I remember like holding it, looking up, and they're like, are you okay? And then like the security guard came and like picked me up, and he was like pissing himself laughing. He's like this huge dude who does like Ed Sheeran and Jay-Z and all those big guys. And he just like picked me up. He's like, do you know there's a stair there? I was like, I know, I'm so embarrassed. Like, but anyway, I don't know why I went down that path.
We don't talk about it, but
we don't talk about it, but this happened. Well, we told you that. Oh, yeah. So, like, yeah, the main acts, they'll be around. Like, sometimes they'll be about, like, we did some shows with Sting and, like, you know, and, like, Blondie.
Oh, yeah, as you do.
They'll be around. But, there is definitely a backstage etiquette. And we're quite a seasoned support band now. And you definitely know, like, to respect artists' privacy. Mm-hmm. Like, you wouldn't have your phone out. Yeah, like, even at after parties and things like that. Because, you know, for them, like, they're also very private. You just respect that as well. And like, you know, at the end of the day, no one, like, you don't want to feel like uncomfortable, especially if it's your show and stuff like that. So, everyone's always, we've never had any ill experiences with anyone, and everyone's always really lovely and supportive. And yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Unreal. But yeah, and all we
I'm
did
still
it.
Thinking about Sting. I'm like, what?
Oh, he's so good. We're actually really lucky. We've got a couple shows with him this year at the UK.
Six, I think.
So if you're over there.
I keep saying a couple. I'm like, that means two. Like, I don't know. It's fine. But
with one?
Anyway,
if you like picked up a bag of nuts, like you've got a couple nuts.
Is there like a few nuts? I don't know. That's fine. I'm always just like,
a few nuts.
A dozen nuts.
So when are you jetting out? How long are you in town for?
We're here for a bit longer. Like, we've got Tom Jones' Australian tour coming up. So that'll be over just Oz. And then back to the UK in June at this stage. Last year we did a South by Southwest in Austin, which is amazing.
Yeah, I haven't done that.
You should just go. Even if you don't go to play, just go. It's so much fun.
I heard good things.
There's lots of free stuff as well. Like, we're all like those kids with a show bag. Need another free hat and another free thing to write something on. Another pair of sunglasses that say like,
huge though. Like, there were like 1,500 bands showcasing when we were there. And apparently that was like small, like they were still building it up from COVID, but then we did Great Escape a few months after, and that was nice because it was about
like the same. Yeah. It's kind of like Big Sound for people that don't know those festivals, but they're really, really good for networking. Australia run the Aussie barbecues.
Oh, yeah.
We love them. They are so fun. So yeah, like they do amazing events, and yeah, it's just so much. It's really cool. And we should definitely mention that we did the Cause tour last year as well for Cause and Natalie and Brilliant and Tony Childs. So that was so much fun. So like, it was like that 360 we were talking about earlier when Mum emailed, and then it was so crazy to have like, you know, not a couple of years later, but years later, being able to open for this artist that we got told we sounded like, and like, it was like just shooting the shot, let's email the producer. So I know Billy, like the producer that did that, was so proud of us, and just we FaceTimed him from the pit when we were watching them play, and he was so chuffed. So cool. Yeah, it's been fun.
That was such a fun tour.
That was the longest, and I'm sorry if anyone's still here. Well done.
No, this is amazing. Because like we, we think it's really important that we educate people on the journey and the process, because we're finding post-pandemic that I think people are a bit over the finished product, the polished product. Yeah. They want to know, like, why did you write that song? And what was the worst experience you had on tour? And they want to know you, you know? And we really struggle. Well, when I say we, I'm speaking on behalf of Chief Straight Knight because we're best buds. And we struggle with the whole, like, having to keep up TikTok and Instagram. And we're getting
so
better
bad at it, but we... Actually, Luke will be like, I told you to get on. I saw Luke and his partner, Hannah, a couple of years ago in Zadar. And he's like, you have this thing called TikTok. And I was like, I don't know about that stuff. Like, Instagram's enough. I think it was 2019, maybe, just before. And so, like, oh, I don't know. And then, idiot me. Did I listen to him?
Well, yes and no. I think there's two arguments. One is the route that we've done, which is you've done music for the right reason, number one. So what I've picked up from this is that you're passionate about it, you pursued it and you had support. And that is fundamentally important, right? To have people in your corner to go do this and then you shoot your shot. And great things happen when you are talented and prepared and ready and you go for it, right? Great things happen. But I think the kids today, they're missing that integral part. I think what they're seeing is you need to be Instagram famous or you need to have a million likes on TikTok and they're sort of chasing that avenue, which is really hard. It's like chasing money, you know?
Yeah. And also, like, even that instant gratification, like I do a couple of the edits and stuff for our socials and, like, you know, you spend like a day compiling the footage, getting it all nice together and then people just like, oh yeah, that's nice, 20 seconds, boom. And like, and then it's just like, all right, do the next thing. And like, I think as well, like I feel very lucky that we did do all those slogs. Like the amount of like late nights, I remember we played in Canada at this festival and we were on at 3 a.m. in the morning and played for like 45 minutes to like two old men and like probably just want to see some girls like shaking it. But we weren't shaking it, maybe not. I don't know. we've done all sorts. We played on the GAN to get a free ticket to Perth because it was expensive to drive there. So mum somehow figured out that,
that's
I don't
genius.
Know if this is still a thing, but
they need
the GAN's
a DJ?
Just going to get all these like emails. Yeah.
I think it was only like, and you only have to do like maybe 2 30 minute sets for like, and it was like a 2 day trip.
And you get a free ticket.
We got upgraded. Well, Claire and
totally
I got upgraded.
I don't know if it's still a thing, but like if you
do you know cruises,
to Perth,
if you're listening,
So we go and we like had a cabin and stuff and like it was just like some older folks on there.
It was
like,
so
the
you got
rust.
Someone taught you how to knit.
I was knitting and this lady's like, no. And I was like, oh, well, I've got time.
You got educated on how to knit.
Yeah. It was really cool though. Like, so we've done so many, like, you know, when people say do the 10,000 hours and we've still got more to do. Like there's no, like we're still nowhere near the point that we'd love to be at, but we also just loving the journey and loving seeing it. And like I was saying about Alex Hosking that was in the other week, like we're like still in the game, like we're still here. Like,
100%.
You sadly do see a lot of bands break up and it is so hard, like, you know, especially as you get older and, you know, introducing families and mortgages and things like that. And when you're not at that level where you can sort of take that break back and not do it, it is like you feel like, oh, what do I do? And especially like, so it is weird, but I think because we all do it together, we're like a bit of a tripod. So we all sort of like pick each other up when we need to. But
I have a question about that.
Yeah.
Neuroscience. It's a bit nerdy.
That's all right.
There's this special thing. I've only had it with a couple of artists where, shout out Indie Stan. When she's in the vocal booth, we get into flow state really quickly.
Yeah.
We can write songs together super fast. But we finish each other sentences and I don't actually need to instruct her or any, and vice versa. She'll just have a thought and all of a sudden I'm doing it. And,
yeah, that's awesome.
I didn't.
I wasn't quite the same.
I like pizza.
It's happening. Do you think being sisters, has there been some weird times where you just, I don't know, you just become one?
Definitely. Like, I think just every time on stage, like I've played cello for a couple artists and I was like, oh, like it was so weird because I look at Georgia all the time for direction. I know what she's going to do.
Yep.
Sometimes she goes off limb. But even still,
which
we're
I can
like
tell
pretty,
Layla's like not having
like,
a
like, side eyes. Like anyway, because she's very much by ear. I can play by ear to a point, but I also just like to know like, you're just a little bit more better. But that's okay. But yeah, but we definitely do, I think, where I can look at her, I know when she's about, you just, we've played for so long, we just know each other. Well,
you know what's happening in the song, you know, it's just, you know, so you just do it. But yeah, with other artists, it's definitely like, oh, I have to pay attention and you don't really.
So that
side of things, definitely.
And because we've played so many big live shows together, like we've been, definitely I recommend as well, if you are doing bigger shows, is getting a, like a stage choreographer. I don't know, what did Tom Jackson do? He was like a...
Kind of like
a music director, but also like
that planning out your shows and your set. So it's not like this song and this song and this song. It's
so
like, why are you doing
just like the album? Like you want to have like some moments and you want it to build up. So that's something we never really knew about. And this guy had come over from Nashville and I think he'd worked with a couple
of
artists.
It was like an arts essay thing. And they had this guy come and he like had us on stage and he was like, no, was don't do that.
Scary,
it was like, a little bit like, have, like,
picked
apart.
He told me like being a sloppy walker. He's like, don't walk like this. Like, walk like this. Like, he's like, if you're wanting to go somewhere, you get to that point and then you clap and he's like, because I used to hate getting the audience to clap. I'm like, oh, it's so embarrassing. Like, but he's like, no, like they want to be told. Like, like, he changed up so many of our songs and then we use sort of his methods. But there's probably a few people that do it. Like, he's like, Jordan,
you can do it yourself as well. Like
your solo, like, I don't know, 30 seconds longer than it should
make
be.
It long, like, make things longer or cut things out or just, like, have moments in the song so it's not just playing the song through from start to finish.
You probably realise if you see, like, people like, you know, any artist, like Taylor Swift or any, like, you know, they have, like, the track and, like, maybe we could work together and you can do some, like, tracks for us in between and, like, I hate an awkward silence as everyone knows on stage, so definitely need some of that instead of me running my mouth. But yeah, like, so yeah, that was something that was super rewarding. And I think,
yeah, like, and for us, it's our such a big part of our brand is our live show. Mm. And that's how we've been able to just, you do a good show and people ask you back. And so that was, massive.
Also just be polite to everyone. And if you are a support act, like you can get like, you're quite disposable. I think like, I mean, we try not to be, but it's like, you definitely do see a few egos every now and then around, especially when you're starting out. And I think it's just really important to be humble and you never know who's in the room. Because like you could have some huge music book or a huge whoever and they're just in sneakers and a thing. And you could just think that like, you just always be nice to everyone. And especially the crew as well. Like they work so hard. Like we get there and play an hour or whatever, but they're there from like the crack of dawn, setting up lights, setting up stage. And like being nice to them, like I see people be, we have seen people be rude to sound people for none of the artists that we've mentioned today at all. But like, you know, just like, you know, sometimes there's some of the other things we've played out, you know, I was like, it's just no.
It's the worst thing you could do. That's what
we're talking about. I was like, you don't want bad sounds. Yeah. Like,
no.
They're the nicest ones you should be nice to.
Absolutely. We were on buses and then had trucks with our stage and the truck would roll in and then like a transformer fold out into our stage. And probably for the first 4 to 5 weeks of tour, none of us helped. We just didn't know. We had no one. You don't know what you don't know.
And
then eventually the crew was getting pissy. They're like, you know, you guys just think you're rock stars and you just stay on the bus all the time and you go off and whatever. And like every day we set this up for you and we'll make sure you sound great. Like when are you going to give back? So we made an effort. We're like, oh.
So
we went to Walmart and we got some gloves because we didn't want to hurt our hands. we helped like build the stage and pack it down. And
oh, that's really nice.
I just noticed the bass sounded heaps sweeter.
Oh, yeah.
I was sleeping on the bus. That didn't help.
Yeah.
Set just went a little bit longer.
It 100%. And like, I think a lot of the time, like a lot of the artists that we have been asked back for, we hope it's maybe because we've been nice, but like.
You just have to be a good human.
Yeah, just be nice.
And it's not that hard to.
And everyone's on whether you're on stage or not, like, it's like, if anything, I feel like the crew are more important than the artists. Obviously, the artists puts a show on and things like that. But you're really a big team. Like, it's just, we always try and make a point of thanking the crew
That's
and everyone because.
That's so cool.
Yeah. And we're always just so grateful that we're here. Like, obviously, being from like Adelaide, I hate when people write it off or like, oh, I've never been there. I'm like, you should go. It's so good. And we've got so much talent that's come out of here and some amazing artists. And just even like the town itself is so, like, the South Australia is so good. So. But yeah, for us coming from like, you know, playing at like for our grandparents and like little like Scott Creek Hall or whatever, and then going playing at the O2 in London, like sometimes you just like, I can't believe we're here and
can't wait to see what's next.
I mean, we just keep cracking on, but it's always a hustle. Like it doesn't end after that. And if anything, you almost feel the pressure like, crap, I've got to outdo the next one or what can we do next? But I think like I just recently went up to the Actor Film and TV Awards, and they had a great festival on there, and I listened to some amazing composers for film and TV, and that's something that's another avenue we might consider doing, and would love to work with some like DJs and music producers that do like electronic music. So like we're, and like, because, well, we always thought we'd love to write a musical. So we've got lots of like ideas, yeah, but like touring and everything is like probably our first love and playing big shows, but we love just creating music and making people feel good and happy. And Georgia's probably will talk more about her songwriting and her lyrics. I've written a few songs, but you've polished them up a bit better.
So yeah, you the brains behind the majority of the songs?
I mean, I've just been writing since I was like a little kid. So it's more, not that, well, I mean, also not that you haven't, because you haven't, but you had, it's more something you picked up later on when we were sort of, doing it more as
a
band.
We're embarrassed kind of about sharing ideas with each other. Like, yeah. I don't know if you have brothers or sisters, but you know, you just like laugh at each other. Like, when it's like, I've got this idea, like, should we do? We're like, ah! Like, this is like us when we were kids, like, what an idiot. Like, so we'd be so embarrassed to actually be serious in front of each other. Would you say so?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Georgia would usually write the song all done before coming, like, or like you'd have most of it down.
Yeah, because for me, songwriting is more personal, and I would be like something that I'd be going through, or and I would then like express myself through that. And then even playing it, I would usually remember like with mum and dad or anyone, I'd like record it on the little tape thing. And then it got, the software updated over the years. It was like, but I remember the tape when it was like record. But then I'd like run away and go run to the other end of the house and like make you play.
Like, yeah, like we'd play.
With you in the other room.
Yeah, because I wouldn't want anyone hearing me sing.
We'd all like have our $5 budgets for each other. This is like, we're like 10, not now. But, and Georgia would just like record a song for mum and dad. It'd be like, dad, you collect the honey from the beehives. Yeah,
something terrible. But it was like.
We had beehives, like. and then it was like, mum, you're the one that picks us up from school. Like, it was just.
Anyway.
And they're like, oh, you're amazing. And I'm like, what about this $5 mug from cheap? Just guys, like, anyway.
So Georgia, now when you write music, where are you doing that?
Mostly at home. Well, I write a lot when we're traveling, but it's always sort of in a note sort of thing. Yeah. And then it's just so hard when you're traveling to sort of make time to just be like, let's finish that. So that's when I'm home, which is I do froth on just being in one spot, and you can like, all right, let's collaborate those ideas. That's kind of Adelaide.
So do you have your own studio or?
Well, we've got one at mum and dad's, and I've sort of put, like, I've got a little office at my place that I've been sort of doing more stuff in, which is cool. So
it's a bit more rustic than this, but we really love your studio. It's nice. Claire has like decked it out. The drummer, she's an amazing like woodworker. It's so rad, and we all have random skills, but
you can use that here, I think.
Yeah. She's got all these like old recycled panels and paneled all the walls, like
pallets.
But we saved a bit of money and like built that all, and it's like we've used it all the time because it's so important to have that space. It was so separate from like your bedroom or your lounge room when you got like, you know, all that stuff around. So yeah, it's been really good. Hopefully we'll do more songs, but yeah, Georgia is such a good songwriter. Like, I'm always so in awe of
keep talking, guys.
How does it begin? Yeah, is it a very rough demo, just you and a guitar, or you and a keyboard or something, and then slowly you build over time? Or do you kind of have that vision already in your head?
Yeah, it's pretty much straight. Well, I'd say it's straight away, but I like my favorite part, like I love like writing the song, but then my even more favorite part is like recording it and like layering it. Like some of the albums that we've done, I would like I'd have like 100 or 150, 200 tracks sometimes. Just like so many different vocals.
It's not just us, bro.
Wow. Yeah.
It's just so much fun. Like I love listening to it back and like all the different, I'll be like, let's do another vocal, or another guitar thing or another. Well, I was using Pro Tools for like ever, but I've just sort of started recently started learning Logic because I'm like, it seems a bit as cool. You don't have to buy so much stuff. It's just a little bit more.
That's a great call,
but I do like both, but I'm trying to go into Logic a bit more because I think it's, I don't know, just trying something else.
If you ever want to dabble in Ableton, as you can see.
You're an Ableton. Yeah.
I'm not sponsored, but just a comfy shirt.
Well,
you're an Ableton.
Look after us, so we are.
That's awesome.
But we've 10 years now, I think. Longer.
Cool.
We can't not use Ableton, Pro Tools is like. Yeah. No, that's very cool. But honestly, we should try something at some point for fun.
I really want to. Alex talked about you guys and I was like, we have to do it. Yeah. And now we're back in LA for a little bit.
Till mid-March.
Yeah. Even like Top Line is like, I think I was telling you off camera 100%. Before. I was like, I would love to do, got a few friends that do producing and DJing. And what do you like to be called? I'm like, what's the correct terminology for what you guys are? Because I feel
music,
like music producers. Yeah. And then do you say DJs when you're performing or like?
Well, you're a DJ.
But not much anymore. I'm not a DJ. More in the studio.
Yeah,
than
yeah. Do you like doing the live shows or?
Live shows are incredibly fun because you get to express all that energy
made
in that other room.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
But because we're not really touring at the moment or anything, we're not really doing that.
I haven't quite recovered from the pandemic yet.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You should do a festival. I reckon you guys have the chops to be able to organize. Look at this studio and space.
We'd love to. And I think it wouldn't just have to be electronic as well. I think we could do something like Day on the Green. That would be so cool. It's like the wine region here in South Australia, for anyone that's listening overseas.
Oh, it's so good. Yeah.
We don't just have to do the banger festival, like the stereosonic type in town or whatever. It's funny because we produce the music that our audience knows us for. They don't know that we make other music. And most of it is on a hard drive. So we've done like the cinematic.
Yeah,
this
amazing.
Guy shreds and guitar. I didn't realize. I was producing for another client and I needed, it was like, what do you call it?
I said the flamenco.
Damn, I was going to say flamingo.
Close
enough. I've made that mistake already. But no, that was, I can't.
That's so good.
I started with electric guitar and then moved into electronic music. I never thought I would because like when I was in bands and stuff, like I thought that was it. I thought club music was terrible. And then my taste changed so quickly. And then I learned you can kind of just do it all.
Started on like, what instruments did you start on? I always like find this interesting.
You trained.
I'm a pianist.
And I started on an electric guitar, basically. And then just went from there. Yeah,
amazing.
The band thing for a bit and then realized I was too selfish to be in a band and started making music by myself.
Yeah. I have so much respect for bands because I just don't get how you all play together.
I could never be solo. Even at a sound check, like, can you just sing something? I'm like, I'm better now. Like I'm getting over it. But like I think at the start, I was like, it's okay. I'd just be like, 1, 2. Because and at George's a couple of times, like, didn't your sound not work? You're like, sing the next line. I was like,
oh yeah.
I actually just dropped
there
over.
There was a show recently.
Yeah.
And I can't remember. Was it a Tom Jones one? And the mic didn't work. Like they didn't.
No, I thought the mic fell down. You were playing Good for a Girl on the piano and you couldn't get it up to sing.
No, it didn't. The battery must have ran or something. It was one of those like, and then Ella like, instead of like taking the lead, you like walked over to the stage and then you like picked up, because I have a guitar mic and a piano mic and you
I
like,
was like, I'd rather just
moved
just
it.
I was like, here you go.
Like, you don't want to take over? Like, anyway, it was fine.
Yeah, I was like,
I was kind of stuck on the piano. So I
couldn't. I'm like, no, I don't want to do it.
Does Clara do any vocals or anything? Or
she does as well, but not backing vocals. So she wouldn't sing.
We do the oohs and ahs and we're very happy to do that. I love singing, but I like singing with the girls. I like sing to myself sometimes, but I prefer to sing with the girls.
So the harmonies in your like recordings, are they done by you and your sister Clara as well? Or is it Georgia or?
I mean, do you? Like, you hear stories where like they go back in after the like main goat pen, they're like, all right, you just sing that like.
I was listening to
she
your
did
music.
That to me in the early days of the bass and she's like, you just weren't getting it right. And I was like,
give me that thing.
Yeah.
I was listening to music earlier today and I found there was like a lot of harmonies and stuff. And I was like, that would take a long time.
I do like the octave sort of stuff.
Yeah. That's what I noticed the most. I was like, are they pitched like...
I just hope nobody walks in while I'm doing it because I'm like...
I
want to be the mix engineer on that track.
Nice.
I'm always like the hey or the like.
I heard a few of them too. Yeah. Okay, now I know that.
Yeah, so I'm always embarrassed with that. It's good fun though. I can't wait till we start. We've got a few songs that are coming out. We thought we'd probably do a bit of plug while we're here. But yeah, we've got some songs coming out and also music videos. So, yeah, we're super excited about that, but I can't wait to record a couple. We've got lots of tracks in the works, but, I can't wait to get back into the studio and do some stuff, some fresh stuff, because we've been playing the same songs the last couple of years.
Yeah.
People like it, and we love it too, but, like, it's always fun to mix things up, and we've, like, as your style keeps going, it, like, develops, and, yeah, like, we love just trying new things.
You think you'll record that music here or in the UK?
We're sort of not on a fence at the moment. We're just sort of, at the moment, I'm just doing stuff at home, like stems. And then, I think we're open to both. Like sometimes it's easy just going into a studio. Like I remember we did it recently, a few years ago. like not that recently, but like just went in and was like, and yeah, the producer recorded everything and then got to walk away and I was like, oh, that was like quick. Cause usually I'll be like, you know, weeks on a song being like, all right, like just going back. And then, and the problem with when it's just me is that it's very, I get a bit in my head.
She doesn't know what's right or wrong. Like, and I'm like, oh, like there's no one to say, I don't
maybe
like
I'll
that.
Do that guitar again. Then I like, we sometimes you should need somebody to be like, no, like, or whatever.
It's
so,
okay.
Or like collaborative.
Yeah. So I think we're just, at the moment we're recording, but then we'll,
we've got a few, like, there's some amazing also, like, producers, even some of the guys from the tours that do a lot of mixing and stuff. Like, they don't just do, like, the mixing on stage. They do, like, producing. And, a few people are always, like, happy to just have a play around. And, it's just finding that right fit as well because it's quite a personal thing. So I think when you're in the studio, you want to feel comfortable to be able to talk about what you like and, like, spring ideas and do this and that because sometimes it can feel a little bit domineering or like you can get like, especially in our earlier days, we're quite intimidating. We're like, oh, well, they are the boss, they know best. And everyone's always been lovely that we've worked with, but they wouldn't have known what we were thinking because we would just have been too scared to say, oh, maybe can you do it like this? I think we're a lot more assertive now, but that just comes with age and like just experience. I think you learn that over time.
100%. Well, one of the themes I've picked up from this, and thank you so much, is just the excitement and passion and love for it. Like that is so inspiring.
Oh, thanks.
I want to get in the studio now. In closing, to wrap this up, have you got like one bit of advice for someone who's watching or listening that's starting out that will really just help clarify what is important? Like what's the path that you think you girls took that made the most sense?
I think like always know it's going to be hard. Like life's hard and like, you know, it's going to be hard. Like anything that is really fun or really good and stuff, like you see all these artists like doing all these big things, but they've come from that as well. A lot of people don't see that journey or where it all came from. But, and like I said before, we've still got a long way to go too. But like, if you really love it and you keep going and believe yourself, know it's going to be hard, but like just keep going. Like all I can say is just keep sticking at it. Just be you as well. If you're not happy with the music you're playing, I know there was like a podcast or something, I was listening to a video about people, you know, talking about how they always want to get on Triple J and the producers were sick of people coming in saying, hey, can you make me sound good enough to get on Triple J? It's like, just play what you want to play. Like, your music will come out the best when it's what you like and what makes you you. Don't try and be someone else. Like, don't try and... I think that would be... Because, like, we always tried, like, one time we were, like, wearing flower crowns, trying to be, like, flowery girls. And then the next we're, like, maybe we'll do this, maybe we'll do that. But then now we've just, like, merged and we've found our groove and we found what we like, we find our style. And it's always developing. But I think when you feel comfortable in what you wear, from what you're wearing to what you're playing, how you're moving on stage, that's when your best will come out. So just... Yeah, and like even if you don't know who you are, try some stuff and then if it feels right, you know that's right. And if you feel weird in, I don't know, wearing a marshmallow suit, don't do that. Or do it if it feels right. Could be a cool thing. Great advice. How marshmallow came. Yeah. The square.
Yeah.
I don't know as if we've been talking for an hour. I'm so sorry. Like,
It goes quickly.
Yeah. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think just, making sure your heart's in the right place because...
Yeah.
Just like if you really love it and you're passionate about it and you've got some talent, then it's like, a lot of it is just staying in the game because there's so many times where I think we could have been like, I'll see you later.
There's
kind
also
of thing,
like a lot of, can be a lot of noise and it's not always bad noise because people like, oh, like, you know, you vent to friends or vent just in general and people like, oh, like, why don't you just quit? It all sounds a bit hard. Because of course you're like, you know, like there's lots of stuff that we wouldn't like, you know, that goes on behind the scenes, but you know, also just, don't listen too much because I think it's, especially as you get older, it's easy to compare. I think like we were saying to other people and also other people's careers, like some people get really lucky and they get some great opportunities with people and it does excel them a little bit faster, but it doesn't matter. Like don't compare yourself to that as well because like you'll get there if you keep going and there's always a way. Like as Lemony Snicket's book says, I think when Violet ties her bow up and she's like, there's always something. So I always think that and like you can have 100 no's and 1 yes. So you never know.
Yeah. And I think like enjoying it as well, like no matter what you're like, if you're, if you're playing in pubs or if you're playing on big stages, like if you're passionate about what you're doing.
Technically, definitely advice, just play many gigs. I think you're talking about the social media culture. There's some incredible singers and artists out there on socials and that's so great. And it's such a good channel. A lot of people like do find success from that and like have that inbuilt crowd already if they do a big show. But I think as well, like don't forget about the art of making the music and the art of spending time on something. And
also the people that you meet along the way, like really like cherishing the relationships that you
make. Even if you don't make, like get where you want to be, like have some good stories when you're in the old folks home when you're older. That's what I always say. So
I don't know.
Hopefully I'm not in a home. Hopefully I'm like an uncle in Monaco or something. No, I'm joking. Yeah, like we'll see.
How good. Well, thank you. No, that was perfect. That's great advice. Alex, did you?
No, I'm all right.
Sweet.
Alex, sorry, I've got such a whiny voice.
No. I'm just soaking it all in.
Yeah, we're going to have to watch this episode back a few times. There's a lot of key takeaways in that. Thank you both so much.
No, thank you.
For being on the forecast. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, and like, well done.
Yeah.
Well done.
No. See how we go. Yeah.
Keep going.
Say hi to Tom and Sting for us.
Yeah.
Tell them to swing past when they can.
Yeah.
We'll have it open for
all
them.
The best. We'd love to get you back, you know, once you've done the next world tour.
Yeah, definitely. And you guys too, congrats on this. It's such an exciting space and I think so good for Adelaide. And like, I love seeing people just, you know, pursuing their passions. And this is such a cool studio. If you haven't been here, you should check it out if you're an artist. Who do you guys appeal to here? Like anyone can come in or book a session with you guys?
Anyone that's got a passion for music or creativity, just
come on in. Oh, awesome. And excited for the next track with you guys as well.
You heard it here first.
So good. I'm excited.
All right, awesome. Well, if you've enjoyed this episode, we'll put links in the description on YouTube and Spotify. Please do check out the Jermaine Sisters, follow their journey. And if you want more of this content, let us know. Until next time. Cheers.